Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging.
Welcome to This Song Is Yours. We're a music podcast that chats to artists, musicians and creatives on their songwriting craft and upcoming projects. I'm your host, Simon Fink, and welcome to episode 294. Today, we're joined by Asha Lorenz from critically acclaimed UK indie band, Sorry. Last year, they released their well-received second record, Anywhere But Here, through Domino Records. And next month, they're making their first trek down to Australia for a handful of their own shows and appearances at Yours and Ours Festival, as well as South by Southwest Sydney. Before we get to our chat with Asha, please make sure you subscribe to this very podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever app that you use. And please make sure you follow us across all of our socials. Details for everything can be found within the show notes of today's episode. Our guest today is Sorry. The much buzzed about UK band burst onto the music scene back in 2020 with their debut record 925, which is such a brilliant listen, but is so very difficult to categorize as it covers folk pop, jazz, post-punk, and a range of other genres. This approach brought the band, which is fronted by Asha Lorenz and Lewis O'Brien, quite a lot of attention and success, with media outlets like Stereogum and The Guardian singing their praises. Last year, they followed that up with their second studio record, Anywhere But Here, which sees the band take a more traditional songwriting approach, but still covers a smattering of sonic territories. Next month, in October, the band will be heading to Australian shores for some shows and festival appearances. In today's episode, we're talking to vocalist and guitarist Asha Lorenz about their forthcoming Australian trip and what they're expecting from these shows. We talk about the origins of the band and how sometimes distance can help with the songwriting process. We also discuss the brilliant Anywhere But Here record and some of the inspiration behind its tracks. Anywhere But Here is out now, and we've left links within the show notes so that you can find all of Sorry's Australian tour dates for next month. We also want to say a massive thank you to Lucy from Domino Recordings for her help with today's episode. Here is our conversation with Asha Lorenz from Sorry. Please welcome to This Song Is Yours, Asha Lorenz from Sorry. Hello, Asha. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Thank you so much for your time.
Nice. Thanks for having me.
My absolute pleasure. Look, I'm very excited and I'm very curious to speak to yourself about it. We're just mere weeks away from the debut Australian tour for Sorry. Obviously, a bit of a delay with COVID and everything else, but we're finally so close. How are you guys feeling about making the trek over to Australia?
Excited, yeah. Excited. Bit nervous, but we're excited. Excited to play shows over there. And I've never been to Australia before, so should be a little funky time.
I know there's a lot of excitement in Australia at the moment about you guys coming over.
Sweet.
Where are these nerves coming from? I can understand your regular nerves. Is there anything in particular?
No, more just like it's far away. It's not just how far it is. But I'm excited. I'm excited, yeah, mostly. Should be cool.
I know that, yeah, there's a lot of people excited for it. Is there any, have any other friends in bands or musicians given you any, ideas of what to expect when you get out here?
Mm, Not really. I haven't really talked to other bands. I've just talked to like mates that have been. But no, I think it's best not to have too many expectations. Mm-hmm. I think it will be fun.
Well, I personally, yeah, very much looking forward to these shows. There are five nice. Headline shows, I think, across Australia and New Zealand, plus an appearance at Yours and Ours Festival in South by Southwest. So there's plenty of opportunities for people to see you in this live setting. I guess, what can fans expect from some of these live shows?
I guess just a performance, good performance, really. Hopefully. I don't know. The song from the records. We got a couple new songs as well that I don't think any people would have heard because we haven't released them. Yeah, it should be a more interesting show. We've kind of reworked it over the summer festivals and stuff for going to Australia. So we kind of wanted to get it to. Yeah, we're happy. We've played lots of weird shows this year too. So I think it's I think it'll be cool.
That's awesome to hear. Just out of curiosity, when you say weird shows, what constitutes a weird show?
Weird show. We just played lots of European festivals and stuff, which I guess lots of people don't really know who you are, and so as in they can be weird because you're like, what's going on here? Is anyone having a good time? And I guess you just then. You have to tailor the show for it to be a good show, but then also to, you know, play the songs people, you know, it just kind of just weird because it's kind of uncomfortable, but then it also helps to tailor the show into a more, for next time, so that people can understand it better, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. You're wanting to maintain the true nature or the personality of the band while still hooking people in and trying to get them to enjoy and come back.
Yeah, just for it to be interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. This tour is in support of the record that you mentioned before. It's the brilliant second record from the band. Mm-hmm. It is called Anywhere But Here. I apologize, it's slightly belated because I think it's almost coming up on a one-year anniversary, but congratulations on this fantastic record.
Oh, nice, thanks. Yeah, should be. We'll play some songs from 925 and also some other ones too, but yeah, it's in support of that one.
With Anywhere But Here, it is the reaction. It seems like both here in Australia and internationally, it's been super well received. Has that reaction been seen within the band? Are you guys recognising that more and more people seem to be connecting with this record?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. I think, yeah, when we toured it kind of more, when it came out, people came. And the London show was super busy, which was nice. So, but I think it's grown on people more. I think people like it a little bit. Like, I feel like people who didn't like the first one might like the second one more. But also, it's just kind of hard to tell what's really going on because, you know, you might get good review or something, but it's kind of hard to see if people are actually listening apart from. So, but I think some people have liked it, yeah, which is nice.
I'm glad to hear that. It is a gorgeous record. This second record has marked like a little bit of a sonic shift from the first record. I think that the first record had a bit more of an electronic sound palette, whereas this one, it's more band focused. It's more kind of, I don't want to say traditional songwriting, but like almost your 70s or 80s songwriters mixed with 90s shoegaze. What, I guess, inspired this shift in sound, or what changed within the band?
I think when they did the first record, we were a bit confused about the process of it, because we would play songs live that were like super kind of rocky, but then me and Louis would just also make lots of songs at home and produce it kind of ourselves and do lots of like beats and stuff. So we wanted to, and then we wrote that one kind of over a longer period of time, like when we were recording it in the studio. So we just kind of did it in a little studio and would always be adding to things and taking stuff away. And I think it kind of was cool for that one, but I felt like it didn't feel like that developed, and as a whole record, the songs were kind of, it was just kind of more abstract, and I felt like we didn't really have that much of a thread as much lyrically, or the songs, I think sometimes they didn't reach full potential. And I think then we just kind of listening to lots of kind of 70s artists, and kind of like, me and Louis, we just kind of both like the classics really. And I think for that one, it was more of an emotional time where the songs were just coming out like that, and wanted it to sound a bit more pure sounding, and for the songs to kind of develop more. And it's just kind of what was happening, and wanted the sounds to all be in the same universe world more than the last one that was just kind of pulled from lots of different places, sometimes kind of hard to listen to. It's not that smooth.
I can appreciate that. You're wanting, I think you used the word before, like a through line, which I think is a very nice way to put it.
Yeah.
I would love, if I'm able to ask, my favourite track on the record was Willow Tree. I think it's the most sonically pleasing sounding songs on this record. Sorry, the horns that come in halfway through, just gorgeous. Are you able to talk about the inspiration or where this kind of song came from?
Yeah, it was a guitar riff that I was just playing for a while, and then me and Louis kind of made a little demo of it. We kind of wanted it to sound like a Kinksy song. And they felt like it just kind of, when we made a demo, it kind of felt like it had its own little world in it quite quickly. And then when we played it with we recorded it with the band for the record, and it was just quite a simple, it's a simple song, but I think it's it felt kind of effective and kind of, I think it was like a old poem that I was kind of riffing from, like, I guess. Sorry, I was just checking the name. The Allen Ginsberg poem, like Pushing Up the Daisies or something, I don't know. I don't think it's called that, but it was, I don't know, that one was kind of coming in my mind at the time. I just kind of wanted it to be like a nursery rhyme kind of thing. And we added some cool sounds in it. It was like a, I don't know what it was called, but it was like, has a little wire and you like bang it and it made this cool like twow sound that we put in it. But yeah, I like that one.
It's a gorgeous song. I'd love to know, you mentioned before your bandmate Louis, who is the co-songwriter of Sorry With You. What's the process like for yourselves? Is it something that each song is written by both of you? Do you both bring separate songs to the table? Are there sometimes the amalgamation or the Frankenstein kind of process of putting a few songs into one?
Yeah, it just really depends on the song. Each song is kind of different. Maybe a song will just have lyrics and then maybe Louis will add instruments, or maybe he'll bring a song and we'll make that, add our instrumentation, or we'll start writing a song and just the instruments will suddenly inform the song and then all the lyrics will come, or like the song will be finished and he'll just maybe record it. Or it literally just, every song has a different process, which I think, but yeah, basically, yeah, it's kind of different for anyone else. Or sometimes we won't even make a demo, we'll just play it as a band. It's kind of just it just depends really.
Which is very fair. How did you and Louis start making music? I guess what was the origin story of Sorry?
Well, we both made music kind of separately and put songs on SoundCloud and stuff. And then we.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah, we were friends, so we kind of would be in competition with our SoundCloud. Of like, I don't know, we'd kind of like, we were both aware of each other's SoundCloud, and it was kind of like a funny competition, but also just admiration for each other's tunes and stuff. And then we just made a little band, and it was pretty funny at first, and we just kind of put on nights for our friends and stuff, and then yeah, we had like, Lincoln was an original member. He lives on the road, on my road, and Campbell, worked in a pub with him, and he kind of used to put on nights around London, and Marco joined more recently.
I love that. I'm curious, what was it that, because with SoundCloud, obviously there's such a varying degree of the kind of music you can find on there. Were you guys making similar kind of music, or was it the same, I guess, like genre?
I think some beatsy things were kind of similar. Like, I think we both hear the same hook when we listen to a song or something. So I think we have like a similar but different kind of hooks that we latch onto in our little songs. Our Louis songs, maybe more guitar-y, and sonically I think they sound better than mine. And they were like, yeah, you should check them out. And then mine were just, I'd like to like sample movies and stuff in mine, and they were. He uses Ableton and I use Logic, so that I think that's also where it's different. But yeah, you can check them out. Go on SoundCloud.
We will add, along with all the normal Sorry socials, we'll put the SoundCloud links in the episode so people can have a listen.
Sick.
That's awesome. What kind of films were you soundtracking? Sampling.
I don't know. Just like older films. I don't know. You can, if you find them.
Yeah.
People can find them.
We'll leave them as a surprise.
I didn't like to reference too many things that I'm inspired by, because it's always changing, and then people always pinpoint that specific thing, and I'm like, I don't really feel that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In relation to that, then, I guess, and so we won't focus too much on, I guess, asking inspiration behind things.
Yeah.
In terms of your introduction to songwriting, so maybe going back to the start of like where you became interested in writing about lyrics, I guess, where did that love or fascination come from?
I used to do lots of sing-along with my family on my mum's side. They're quite a big family, and they would have lots of family things, and me and my cousins would sing old like Beatles songs or like Van Morrison songs all together. And I remember feeling happy when I was singing those songs and stuff, and I'd always learn them off by heart, and lots of like Bob Dylan songs. And I remember that being a happy memory, and I enjoyed that. I don't know, I wrote a few songs. Just, I always was, as soon as I could play the guitar, when I would write songs, and I think they would always be kind of dark, and my mum would be like, a bit sad. but yeah, so I think I just always kind of loved songs. yeah.
Which is very cool, which is, I very much resonate with that sentiment, hence why we have a songwriting podcast.
Yeah, that's cool.
I know you mentioned before that it's obviously been a big year on the road, playing festivals, kind of playing gigs all around the world. Are you someone who can write music while you're on the road?
Maybe sometimes like a few lines or a little riff might come, but I find it quite difficult to be writing on the road because I'm exhausted. Or in transit, I'm kind of unable to think too much, or it's just quite, it's kind of hard to feel like you have the space to think. But it does lead you to some funky experiences, which maybe will unlock someone saying something that you might hear, or that you might pick up some new songs that, you know, you gather experiences, I guess, that you wouldn't, that are new sometimes.
100%. I think that we've spoken to a few different artists about sometimes riding on the road is almost like not counterintuitive or counterproductive, but it's more so if you're playing gigs and having to rehearse all the time, sometimes riding, it might simply just be not an offshoot, but like a remnant of what you're already doing. You might need that distance from it to be able to actually have clarity on what you're creating.
Yeah, I feel that. Yeah, it's a weird one.
I did listen to an interview. Who was it with? I think it was with, I'm sure as you're aware, you were a guest on, I think, is it 101 Part-Time Jobs or Jobs, the UK music podcast? Yeah. And spoke about wanting to study physics, I think it was, and how that kind of was able to look at providing that clarity or that break from music that allows you to kind of have those different introductions.
Yeah, I think it's important. Like, I like music, I like to do music, but for me, I kind of have to see music in other things for it to kind of make sense or for it to develop. Otherwise, it just stays the same. Like, it needs to be fed new ideas and stuff for me.
100%. What is it about physics that kind of attracts you to that subject?
Well, I don't know. I just guess last year I was just reading lots of books, and I felt like I could see how in a small, tiny way, things that were happening on the small level with it felt the same between people's interactions and in music as well. And I just found that it was making sense for me somewhere in the way that I was seeing the world, and it made me feel happy. And that, like, I like the way that physics is always expanding and it's always breaking. The laws are always being broken and people have to make it up again when they find out new discoveries. And I feel like if you're feeling a bit sad or things are exhausted, then you can look at physics and see that it's never stopping. And it made me feel a new zest for music and stuff, or for people. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
In terms of reading, are you a big non-fiction person? While you're on the road, do you take books out with you? Are you taking in a lot of literature?
Yeah, I find it kind of difficult on tour actually to read that much. But yeah, I like to. I'm reading quite a lot when I'm in a good phase of reading. I like to read fiction and non-fiction at the same time, and they kind of interweave with each other in my head. I didn't like to... Yeah. I think it's important to always be reading. You just think you got to just be feeding your mind lots of new information to make sense of, make new things of.
Agreed. Yeah, 100%. It's a new perspective to be able to find different ways to look at things and interpret things and everything else, which is, I can very much appreciate that. Do you have any book recommendations for those people who are listening to this podcast who might be looking for something new to read?
I don't like to say specific things. I mean, I will just say this in all the interviews for the last record, but I've read loads of Carver Ravelli books, and those are the physics ones, because he just speaks about physics in like a poetic way and a way that just the normal non-physics person can understand, and kind of that's where I kind of really started reading and enjoyed that. And yeah, I just read The Moon and Sixpence, which is like an English writer, but I actually really enjoyed it, and it was based on some artist before Picasso, and he like just runs off and becomes a painter in Paris, and it's all about his nature's quite odd, but you kind of love him, and I quite like that one. I didn't like it at first, but now I like it, which is Somerset Maugham. Yeah.
That's cool. Definitely worth, I'm going to have a look at, looking into that a little bit further and having a read.
Yeah, nice.
As we've mentioned, you're coming down for South by Southwest and Yours mm-hmm. and Ours Festival, which is a brilliant music festival in Wollongong. I'm not sure if you're across who's playing. There's a good kind of smattering of international acts and Australian acts. Just off the top of your head and no pressure, is there much Australian music that you're across or that you're kind of into?
No, I don't know much Australian music, to be honest, and now my mind's going to go completely blank. So you should tell me who I should see.
100%. What we'll do, once we stop recording, we'll have a chat about some of the acts worth seeing, and then you'll be able to check them out when you're here.
Awesome. It's not that I just don't listen to that much new music in the last, 6 months anyway, so
I think
it's not an Australian thing.
I appreciate that it's not personal, and I think, as we said, it's almost that thing of that when your job is music, you almost sometimes you don't want to be spending your free time with music. It's that having that break and that distance. So I can appreciate
I find it quite difficult to find new music that I like immediately, because I find it hard to navigate Spotify sometimes to mm-hmm. to really fall in love with something, I think. Yeah.
Look, I can very much appreciate that. We are all the user interface on some of those apps are a bit funny. We're Apple Music family here. As I said, we'll send through a list of some artists to see.
Oh, sweet. You
might not like my next question, though. Mm-hmm. We usually ask our guests what they're currently listening to. So it doesn't have to be an Australian band, but is there anything at the moment that's kind of taking your fancy?
Let me think. I need to think. Yeah, I've been listening to lots of The Cleaners from Venus. And I like their album Songs for a Fallow Land. And my favourite song on that is Stars Are Cold. And then, I don't know, I would like to say new artists, but I'm just struggling to think right now. So I probably just won't say anything.
Look, I very much appreciate that recommendation. Again, as we've discussed, sometimes
inundating yourself with a lot of music can be more harmful than good. So I appreciate the recommendation of that one band. Asha, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. I very much appreciate it.
Oh, awesome.
We look forward to seeing you in Australia next month.
Awesome. All right. Lots of love, man. See ya.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.